In 750 BC, there was an obscure farmer and a shepherd that was called by God to be a prophet. That man's name was Amos. His mission that God gave him was to warn Israel of the coming judgment if they did not repent. Now, sadly, the nation did not listen to the call to repent. And as a result, history tells us that they were led away into Assyrian captivity. Now, part of Amos's prophecy that was fulfilled was about an unusual famine that would come upon the people. A famine for the word of God. That's what we can read in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. I want to suggest to you that today there is also a famine for the word of God. Different in some ways, but yet similar in other ways. And I believe it's producing the same results. So we're going to study today and compare the present day famine with the one that was foretold of by Amos in the Old Testament. Our present day famine, how is it different from the one that Amos predicted? Well, the present famine for the Word of God was not sent by God Himself. On the contrary, it is evident that God has provided a feast and not a famine. We enjoy an abundance of Bibles, printed Bibles. In fact, in religious literature, the Bible has been on the New York Times bestsellers list for years. So it's not that we don't have copies of the Bible to read. Never before in the history of mankind has the world enjoyed such free access to God's Word. So really, today's famine for the Word of God is self-imposed. Despite having such access to the Bible, I want to read to you a little cute, if you will, diary of the Bible that illustrates what is often true. The Bible wrote in its diary in January, "It's a busy time for me. Most of the family decided to read me through this year. They kept me busy for the first 2 weeks, but now I'm forgotten. February, my owner used me for a few times last week. He had an argument and was checking references. March, Grandpa visited. He kept me on his lap for an hour reading 1 Corinthians 13. April, I had a busy day. My owner was appointed a leader of something and had to use me. I got to go to church for the first time this year, Easter Sunday. May, I have a few grass stains on my pages. I had some early spring flowers pressed in me. June, I look like a scrapbook. They have filled me full of clippings. One of the girls got married. July, the Bible writes, they put me in a suitcase today. I guess we're off on a vacation. I wish I could stay at home, as I will have to stay in this thing for a month. August, still in the suitcase. September, back at home again and in my old place. I have lots of company. Two true stories and 4 funny books are on top of me. I wish I could be read as much as they are. October, the Bible writes, they used me a little today. One of them is sick. Right now, I'm all shined up and in the center of the table. I think the preacher's coming. November, I'm back in my old place. December, they're getting ready for Christmas now. I'll be covered under wrapping papers and packages. Why is there a present-day famine for the Word of God? Well, the answer, I believe, can be found as we compare this famine that we're in with the one that Amos foretold of and try to notice some differences. But first, we're going to notice how, how it is similar. The present famine that we are in is the result of similar causes. In other words, material things. In Amos' day, this became the cause of pride, which God hated, according to chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Their luxury prompted them to put off the day of doom. At least in their minds, they didn't want to think about the future. And God had warned Israel that it might cause some to forget Him. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 17. And likewise, Jesus warned that riches could choke those who had received the word, as he gave the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. And yet today, many in their search for wealth forget about God. Others have filled their lives with their time with enjoying their luxuries, and they have no time for the Word of God. Another example would be moral corruption. Consider how corrupt the people had become in the days of Amos. We can notice that in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And who can really deny that immorality is having its effect on the church today? The world's standards oftentimes become the standards of those in the church. And when this happens, people do not want to feed on the Word of God. If they did, it would make them very uncomfortable. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it tells us that it's because of its ability to reveal our true selves. A third example of how the famine today is similar to the one of Amos' day is religious corruption. The people of Israel couldn't wait for religious days to be over. Chapter 8, verses 4 through 10. And I feel the same way today, that many people can't wait for services to be over so they can go back to work or go back to play. If they're unwilling to spend time in sincere worship, then it's easy to see why they won't take time to feed on God's Word on a daily basis. So the present famine also produces similar results. Amos described a very sad picture for the nation of Israel in chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. He said there that the young people were fainting from thirst, and others falling and not rising up again. And doesn't this describe the daily lives of many Christians today? They're suffering from a lack of spiritual food. They're easily overcome by temptations in this world, and even the common trials of life just overwhelm them, and they can't cope. And this may help us to understand why so many new Christians fall away. Young people often lose interest, and the behavior of some elders and preachers and teachers, it is what it is. There are two things that are necessary to resist trials and temptations. One is faith in God. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. He says, believing that he will provide a way of escape. And then the Proverb writer talks about a second reason or second thing that's necessary in Proverbs 16 and verse 6. He said, and that's a fear of God, that awesome reverence that motivates us to turn away from evil. The Word of God is designed to impart both faith and fear. We read it throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the condition of many churches today is one of spiritual malnutrition. It's influenced by materialism, it's influenced by immorality, and it's influenced by a lack of true spirituality. So by choice, many have imposed a famine upon themselves for the Word of God. They're starving themselves. And this helps to explain the discouragement and defeat in the lives of so many Christians today. But what can be done about it? How can we end this self-imposed famine for the Word of God? Well, let's talk about ending the famine. First, we have to appreciate the power of God's Word. It possesses the power of creation. That's demonstrated in the beginning book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. With the creation of the physical realm, Hebrews talks about this in chapter 11, that we have to have faith. And he talks about the creation of that physical realm in verse 3. And it has a similar power in the spiritual realm that produces a true regeneration. It possesses also the power of sanctification. David prays this about the Word of God in his Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. And it was mentioned by Jesus as he prayed in John 17 and verse 17. But also this Word of God possesses a power to preserve us. The young are instructed to keep their ways pure by the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 9. The older people, the elders, are exhorted to keep the church pure by it. Paul spoke of this when he spoke to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verses 28 through 32. But a lack of knowledge has always destroyed God's people. In Hosea 4 and verse 6, he pointed out that his people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But this Word of God possesses the power of salvation and condemnation. James 1 and verse 21 says that it can save our souls when it is properly received. John 12 and verse 48 tells us that it will be the standard by which we will be judged in the day of judgment. Now, shouldn't this motivate us to learn about the Word of God, to learn what's in it? And wouldn't it be foolish for us to neglect the power that it has in our lives? But then, we would have to feed upon it if we knew about it. Peter describes our desiring for the Word of God in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, like newborn babies that long for their mother's milk. He says there, in comparison, we need to long for the Word of God. We need to have that great thirst, that great hunger for the Word of God. I contend that nothing less than daily reading of God's Word is necessary. We appreciate the daily value of feeding our bodies. But do our souls deserve any less? They are created in the image of God. They are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And one soul is more valuable than the whole world put together. Jesus tells us that in Matthew 16 and verse 26. So a simple practice of daily Bible reading will go a long way to end this famine for the Word of God. That is a reasonable goal at first, to just read a chapter a day. And I recommend reading through the New Testament first. At the rate of one chapter a day, it would be easy to read the New Testament within a year. As you read, make it a time for meditation and prayer. Don't just read it. Study upon it. Meditate upon the Word according to Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Pray for wisdom and help that God will help you to obey His Word. Psalm 119, verses 18 through 37. You know, it must have been a terrible thing for the Israelites in the days of Amos to be taken away as captives into a strange land and unable to feed on the wonderful Word of God. And how tragic for those of us today who impose a famine for the Word of God upon themselves. By their own neglect, they languish, they suffer from spiritual malnutrition. And by their own neglect, they remain captives to sin. Their tragedy is increased when we realize that their neglect is not just one related to the Word of God, as it existed in Amos' day, but they're neglecting the full and final revelation of God's Word given through Jesus and His apostles. I pray that you're not starving. I pray that you're feeding daily upon the Word of God. If you have any complaints or challenges about this lesson or would like to talk to me further, you can look me up on Facebook, you can look me up on the Eastside Church of Christ Facebook, or you can go back and listen to this lesson again at our website, that's churchateastside.com. Or if you'd like, you can assemble with us this morning. We'll meet at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, 6 p.m. this evening for worship, and 7 o'clock on Wednesday for a midweek Bible study. Thank you for being with me.